Ben, thank you. And there are so many mothers in their secret closet who've taken so many things to the Lord in prayer. Thank the Lord for praying mothers. Oh my, they changed the world. Again, happy Mother's Day. Would you please turn in your Bible to the book of Proverbs? We'll be looking at the last four verses of the last chapter of Proverbs. Since 1935, American Mothers Incorporated has been honoring moms throughout the nation. One of the iconic activities of American Mothers is the yearly choice of the Mother of the Year. The Mother of the Year is selected out of nominations from the 50 states, the District of Columbia, and the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. Sorry, Hawaiian mothers. And this year, Dr. Lori Johnson Vegas, a widow from Oklahoma, was awarded on April 22, just a few weeks ago, the Mother of the Year Award at a ceremony that was held on April 22. An article on the website of the organization states this about her. It says, Johnson Vegas is a mother of two, a college professor, and a business owner who works as a human resources consultant and life coach. She is also a professional speaker, certified master with resiliency trainer for the Air Force, the United States Air Force, and certified mental health first aid instructor. Everything, said Dr. Johnson Vegas, everything that I have learned working in corporate America, I learned first at home from my children and was able to take and transfer those skills into the work environment, she said. Now, that Dr. Johnson Vegas be a certified resilience training for the United trainer for the United States Air Force, that matches well with the objective of the organization in presenting this yearly award. And to use the words of the organization, they say that they exist, they choose every year an admirable mother. And that is to provide an inspiration to the nation that would that mother would represent a mother's unconditional love, inner strength, and courage. All mothers, in their view, who mother well, do have that unconditional love, inner strength, and courage, but one is chosen to represent them all. Unconditional love toward those within her reach. Inner strength and courage to be resilient. Now, the book of Proverbs concludes similarly with a Mother of the Year-like award. It is the praise that a woman received for her unconditional love, for her resilient resourcefulness, and for her courageous devotion. The last four verses of the book read this way. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also rise up, and he praises her. And this is the kind of thing they say in verse 29. Many daughters, many women, have done well. But you, whom I know, you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But the woman who fears the Lord, she is the one who shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Think about the significance of these verses. The book of Proverbs is the biblical manual of practical wisdom. The book directly teaches the skill and ability of applying biblical truths in the mundane, everyday, normal aspects of life. Now, by concluding the book with the profile of a loving, industrious, and virtuous woman, the Bible presents such a woman as the best picture of a practical life of wisdom. So you look at this. Each of the four verses emphasizes the praise that she receives, not for being only and simply a woman, but for being first and foremost a woman of character. The praise is stated explicitly in verses 28, 30, and 31. Children and husband praise her. God praises her. Her work praises her. And verse 29 is a direct praise addressed to her, the kind of words that she would be receiving. And this is a loftier award than the American Mothers Association could ever bestow. It is a sought-after award, and any woman who fits the profile is eligible for it and uniquely receives it. The odd is that none of the mothers, yea, none of the women who may be hearing this message would ever be chosen as Mother of the Year by American Mothers Incorporated today. It's not that you might not be eligible, it's just the math. Today, there are about 85 million mothers in America. And American Mothers Incorporated choose only one. Dr. Lori Johnson Vegas, only her to be Mother of the Year, among 85 million. So if you counted the number of mothers that our nation has known since 1935, the number rises to hundreds of millions. Yet, the total Mother of the Year Award recipients have totaled only 88. So only 88 out of hundreds of millions. So the likelihood is that none of the women who listen to this message would ever be chosen, okay? Very, perhaps, but that's far-fetched to think that you would be one of them. The blessing, however, is that any of you, woman that hears this message, can receive the praises that the Bible speaks about here. It is accessible to all. And more importantly, the Bible presents these praises as an award to seek after, to covet, to pursue, as being desirable. The qualities that caused the woman in Proverbs 31 to be awarded these praises, those qualities are achievable. Yes, but most importantly, the praise is desirable. It should be sought after, and each woman should aim at gaining such a praise. And that is my point to you this morning as I humbly speak about praise which is desirable for a woman. Our passage emphasizes the praise that the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31 receives. Praise, not honor. It behooves us, therefore, to clarify the difference between praise and honor. And what the Bible wants to present to you is this, that you should desire praise since every mother is honorable, though not every mother is praiseworthy. Praise is different from honor. Praise is more important than honor. Honor is given unconditionally. Praise is given conditionally. The fifth commandment is stated this way in Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, Paul spoke to the children in one of the most prolific cities in the ancient world, the city of Ephesus. The city was a highly educated city. It was a morally corrupt city as well. The city resembled our nation today. You can imagine the libertarian manner in which children in such a city would be raised. Yet Paul admonished children in the church in that city, saying, "Children," chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, "obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." In fact, it is the only commandment with a promise. Both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God does not condition the honor that is due to parents. Parents should be honored simply because they are parents, regardless of their performance. Paul declared categorically that honoring your mother and your father is the right thing to do, period. It does not matter whether the mother is a believer or not. It does not matter whether the mother is educated or not. It does not matter whether the mother has been a good mother or a bad mother. All that matters is that she is your mother. And as such, and simply as such, she should be honored. God demands that we honor the structures that he has established from creation. All structures of authority must be honored regardless of their character or performance. In Romans chapter 13, verse 7, Paul gives this general guidance as a principle. He says this: render therefore to all their due. And here are some examples, some samples. Taxes, you render that to whom taxes are due. And we groan, don't we? Customs, we render that to whom customs are due. Fear, we render fear to whom fear is due. Honor, we render honor to whom honor is due. As absolute as is the mandate to pay taxes, so absolute is the mandate to give honor to whom honor is owed. Perhaps the politician who is in office is not the one for whom you voted. Perhaps your civil officers may not represent your values. Too bad. Nonetheless, you are a resident citizen of their jurisdiction. You still owe them your taxes. Perhaps your mother conceived you out of wedlock. Perhaps her character is disgraceful. Perhaps she carries unimaginable flaws and is guilty of the most shameful sins. Nonetheless, she gave you birth. You still owe her your honor. To be eligible for honor, friends, one only has to belong to a special group, a group approved by society in general. Now, for us believers, we honor those whom God has placed in special roles or special group of authority. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3, for example, Paul told the younger pastor, honor widows who are really widows. That means if they really belong to that group, you give them honor. Widows are part of a special group. They should receive the honors due to that group. Whether a specific widow is praiseworthy or not, she is a widow, you honor her. In verse 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 5, that same chapter, Paul requests a double honor for the elders who rule well. Why double? Well, the first portion of honor, they receive honor for being in the special group of elders. And what is the doubling? They receive a second measure of honor for being in the special group and ruling well. But if they didn't rule well, they would still have the first portion of being in the group and being honored. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, I smile when this was read this morning. Peter admonishes us in this manner: honor all people. Why? They are in the special group of being people. love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. We should honor all people because all people are people. They are human beings. They should be treated with the dignity that this special group deserves. We should honor the king with the dignity that his position and role deserve. We honor the king whether he is good or bad. And likewise, God placed mothers in the special category. Society also places mothers in the special category, so much as to have a special day to honor them. It is Mother's Day, isn't it? Honor is due to your mother because simply she is your mother. And you should treat her with dignity whether she be good or bad. And today is her day. Show respect by acknowledging her, by recognizing her, by honoring her. Now, to honor means it is to respect the office or the role or the position or the priority of a person. In that vein, some people might make this nuance falsely. I respect his office, but I do not respect him personally. Bogus. Well, the Bible does not make that nuance. To respect the office is to respect the person who holds it. To honor the king is to obey and not disrespect the king. To allow the king to be king. To honor your mother is to appreciate the fact that God, in the miracle of procreation, and according to his wise and holy counsel, determined that this woman would give you birth. And you exist because she carried you and gave you birth. You cannot undo that fact. And no other one gave you birth but she. And God predetermined it that way. While honor is due, praise, however, is earned. It is merited. Honor is general. Honor is group-based. Praise, by contrast, is individual. It is personal. Praise is based on your character. It's based on your performance, on your virtue, and your good works. There might be many children and husbands who might honor their mother and wife today, but who sadly might not be in a position to praise and bless her. All women should be honored by virtue of their being people, by virtue of their being in that special group to whom God has given the potential and responsibility to conceive and bear children. They should be honored by virtue of their being chosen by God to fulfill his purpose in creation. But in addition to that honor, the Bible is telling you, women, to equip yourselves with character, to be praiseworthy. It's almost that double honor to the elders. They receive honor for being elders, but they receive a second portion, which is praise for being elders, for eldering well. Thus clearly understand the people from whom you should seek or you should desire to receive praises. The Bible is telling us in this passage that you should desire praise from those whom God himself prioritizes to give you those praises. The passage identifies three sources from which a woman should seek praise: her children, her husband, her God. In verse 28, her children call her blessed. Her husband praises her. In verse 30, her fear of the Lord gains her praise from those who value the fear of the Lord. God establishes the principles by which she should live. The husband and children who depend upon her, her reputation. These are the primary and biblical sources from whom all women should desire to receive praise. And if you receive them somewhere else rather than these, there is a problem. The children I mentioned first, because they are the ones with whom she spends most of her time and in whom she invests most of her energy. They are the primary recipient of her virtues and the primary victim of the lack thereof. One cannot read this line without thinking about Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus. When she visited Elizabeth, the elder cousin, the other cousin greeted her with these words: "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And Mary then praised God for what God was doing in and through her. She says, "For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me." Both Elizabeth and Mary recognized that Mary was blessed in that Mary was chosen by God to be the mother of the man, Jesus. When your children rise up and call you blessed, they are acknowledging that you were chosen by the Lord to minister to them in a mother-children relationship according to God's plan. And you, by God's grace, fulfill that role, to use the adverb for Mothers Incorporated, American Mothers Incorporated. You, by God's grace, you fulfill that role admirably, as much as Mary fulfilled hers toward the man, Christ Jesus. You know, being blessed by your children is to be acknowledged as unique, as irreplaceable. You are the one and only. You are the best that God could have given them as mother. It is much more than simply honoring you for bringing them into the world. It is fulfilling your role as mother according not to this society, but according to God's plan, according to God's design toward your children. And then the husband is mentioned as a second source from whom you should seek praise. He is the one who counts on you to do what is impossible for him to do. And believe me, there is no good man without a good woman. God said it was not good for men to be alone. Men are not good at being mothers. The husband rises up and confirms that what the children have said. And he praises her for making him a better, more effective man. And in verse 12 of Proverbs 31, it had already been said that she does him good and not evil all the days of her life, every single day. She is not a point of stress, but a point of calm for him. She is not stubborn, but cooperative with him. She is not narcissistic, but altruistic toward him. To use the words of Rocky Balboa, she fills gaps. I have gaps. You have gaps. Adrian fills gaps. She fills gaps. She does not create them. Amen, brother. She listens to him. She does not ignore him or deter him. And hence, he rises up and praises her. The third source is the most important one. God is mentioned last but foremost. Verse 30 said, "But a woman who fears the Lord, she is the one who shall be praised." She received the kind of praise that God gives to any woman who fears him. For sure, God providentially brings about the praise through human and natural channels. But that praise certainly comes from God. And as much as her children and her husband have benefited of her virtues and have praised her, so has God approved her ways and caused her to be praised by those who value the ways of God. To repeat more of the words of Elizabeth to Mary in Luke 1, verse 45. Blessed is she who believed. For there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Oh, yes. Elizabeth pronounced the words. Yes. She's the one who said, blessed is she who believed. But she did not speak for herself. Elizabeth spoke for the Lord when she said that. Mary is the one who believed, and those who believe and play admirably the role that the Lord has assigned to them, they are pronounced blessed by those who value the things of the Lord. They are praised by those whom the Lord has established to speak for the Lord. If you are praised by your employer, but not by your church, there must be a problem with your belief system, with your priorities, with what you are seeking after. Blessed is she who believed. Yes, a woman who fears the Lord, she is the one who shall be praised by people who fear the Lord. And here the Bible applies the word of to any woman, whether she has a husband or not, whether she has children or not. The words do not apply only to a mother or to a married woman. A woman in the church, even if she is single, I can tell you, can, and a woman, single women in the church have done, these women can do things that no man can do. In such a day, the honor, I can tell you, whether you are married, you have a child or not, but you are a God-fearing woman, the honor goes to you. You fear the Lord, you are the one who should be praised. You know that I write birthday cards to each member and regular attendee of our church. You should know that because I'm certain that you have received my card. Okay? And I even wrote a card to Lucy, who is, to my understanding, the youngest person in the church so far, until her mother changes that soon. If you are a single woman, your birthday has been my prize opportunity to praise you personally for your fear of the Lord. And being praised by people who are servants of the Lord and by people who are the closest dependents to you, that is the kind of praise a woman should covet. Being pronounced blessed by your children, being praised by your husband, and being praised on behalf of the Lord by those who value the fear of the Lord, that kind of praise is desirable. It should be sought after. It is the award that God bestows upon women of virtue. It is accessible, it is achievable. And everyone, though you be or not be one of the 85 million mothers in America right now, every single one of you should seek after and can receive it. And God makes clear the basis upon which such praise should be bestowed. The basis is this: desire praise that can be bestowed on account of biblical, not societal, virtues. Now, some women may desire praise on the basis of physical traits. Others seek praise on the basis of their intelligence or their professional career. Some women pursue praise for their family lineage. Some other women seek praise simply because they are a mother. They show up, therefore they should receive a trophy. That's honor. That's not praise. The first part of verse 30 tells us why it is unfruitful to rely upon characteristics that are entitlement as a basis for your praise. One is that these characteristics, they give a superficial impression. They are not representative of true value. It says this charm is deceitful. It is superficial. It is something that you work out. No pun intended, it is a make-believe. It is makeup. Charm is pleasant, but charm is makeup. Charm is smile and soothing words. Charm often pretends that there is value where there is not. Many a politician can be charming, yet evil. Charm by itself, without genuine character, is deceitful. A man may marry a woman for her charm. If she does not have depth of character, he would soon recognize that he had been deceived. A second thing that this verse is telling us is that entitlement does not last. Beauty is passing. Ask Hollywood. Now, with Botox, the Hollywood people try to make that beauty last a little bit longer. But as soon as they stop the Botox, they look much older than they would have if they had never injected the chemicals into their flesh. You know, the praise that you receive for charm or beauty may be and should be complimentary, but they do not represent your true self, your true value. They do not represent what counts before God, what is effective for the welfare of those who depend upon you as a woman. They are ephemeral. They are passing. They are superficial. What then should be the basis of the praise that you should pursue? Of the praise that you should pursue, two things is given to us here. One is our belief, and the other one is our behavior. Verse 30 speaks of your belief, a woman who fears the Lord. To fear God is to take God for real. It is to take God very seriously and not think that God is bluffing. A woman who fears the Lord knows God as her only Savior. Like the Samaritan woman, she knows that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world, her Savior. If you are listening to me, my dear woman friend, that is where you must begin. Put your trust in Christ as your Savior. Be like Mary. Blessed is she who believed. Now, fearing the Lord is this. The one who fears God believes that God is and that he is the ultimate and only rewarder of those who trust him. He is the one who gave the Mother of the Year award, the ultimate one, the one that really counts. A person who fears God does not resort to tricks and ruse. A woman who fears God is authentic. She speaks straightforwardly. She acts humbly and obediently. She does not harvest where she has not planted. She does not bribe or blackmail. She does not use her femininity as leverage to get her way. She does everything according to God because she takes God very, very, very seriously. She fears God, not her feelings, not society, not her bringing. Her behavior demonstrates externally what her belief determines internally. And verse 31 says, in addition to belief, her behavior will bring that praise. The one who believes, verse 30, she should be praised. The one who acts accordingly, who behaves accordingly, she is praised by those very acts. This is what it says. Give her the fruit of her hands. And let her own works praise her in the gates. Not her femininity, not simply because of her mother. How she behaves. A woman may be shy and timid. She may hardly ever talk, but her virtuous works cannot be silenced. Her virtuous works are more public than marketing and advertisement could ever be. Much talk with only virtue signaling, they do not gain you praise. A woman who takes care of her children admirably, a woman who takes care of her husband faithfully, a woman who fears God in piety, the other of from heaven and said, give her of the fruit of her hands. She deserves it. She earns it. Don't cheat her of that. She has earned the award of praise, whether she is a mother or not, whether it is Mother's Day or not. The longest serving first lady in the United States history, Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt, she recognized this innate resilience in women. If you look at all the first ladies, she was not the most charming and the most beautiful. And not long after she was married, a certain Miss Mercer had an affair with her husband that continued for a long time. But she is recognized as, despite her political career, ambassador and so on, and doing a lot of things for women causes in the political realm, she is very often quoted as a woman of virtue. Mrs. Roosevelt once said, women are like tea bags. And she said, we don't know our true strength until we are in hot water. The best values of the good woman comes as the pressure mounts. Yes, it is tough to be a virtuous woman at any moment, especially in this day and age. But desiring praise rather than simply honor is God-ordained. So my beloved sisters, if you are a mother, certainly you should be honored. But desire much more than honor. Desire praise. Pursue the character that, according to the Bible, merits praise. Your charm and your beauty may receive compliments. But your God-fearing character and conduct, they are deserving of praise. And that is the praise that every woman should covet. That is the praise desirable for a woman of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. And we thank you for every mother, whether they are adopted, whether they carry the baby. And we thank you for them. But we mostly thank you, according to verse 30, for every woman, mother or not, who fears the Lord. And there are, I don't know what I could do as a pastor in this small church. We follow the woman in our midst who fear the Lord. What would their families do? And as much as permissible within the constraint of ethical conduct and speech in our society, I honor these women. I praise them. And I pray, Father, that every single little girl being raised in our midst
would look at mothers and godly women in our church as the mother they aspire to. Sustain our women. There are some who are in very resilient, who are in such hot water, and I look at them and I say, how hot can that water be? How can they go through it? And I pray that in your grace you will sustain them, that they will not resort to the means of the world to face the trials that God in his wise, holy, and yet still loving counsel has allowed to be in their lives. Sustain them every day. As our sister sung today, say it to the Lord in prayer. Visit them. And as we are children and husbands, give us understanding of the women you put in our lives. Daughters, wife, mother, daughter-in-laws, those to whom we minister in this church. You refer to them as precious china, as very delicate china as we have in our house. We have to check whether they are microwavable or not, how to use them, clean them, expose them for people to admire. Help us, Lord. Encourage our women through their trials. Encourage them, we pray, through the flaws and weaknesses, whether real or imaginable. How often women can think that they have flaws that nobody else is even thinking about. I pray that you would encourage each one of them. We need them, Lord, to be godly, to fear the Lord, because that's the way they are the most fulfilling in God's plan and sovereignty. Magnify your name, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.